ignition sequence start. 3, 2, 1.
Range is hot.
Lock and load. It's time for the gun rack with your hosts, Joey and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gun Rack Sonora Desert Institute School of Firearms Technologies official podcast. I'm Josiah Upper. Folks call me Joey, and with me we have one.
Drew Poplin.
Drew Poplin. We got us both here today in the chat, and we have kind of a fun one for you today. I don't think we've done anything like this, at least not for this sport. We've done some sport-related podcast subject matter before, but this one is new, and actually it's a sport that I am significantly less familiar with than football. So what are we doing today?
All right. So if we have any college basketball fans with us today, which, Joey, I'm a little surprised considering, you know, you grew up in the state of North Carolina, that you're more closely invested with this. It's March, which means it's March Madness season, a great time of the year for many people like myself, whose teams that I feel like this is the one sport, and specifically college basketball, where I can pull for a local team who will actually do well. So very special time indeed for myself. If you're listening to this on Friday, when the podcast goes up, you should know that on Sunday, there's something called Selection Sunday. And so that's where all the teams in college basketball, at least Division One, a committee selects who is going to play in the NCAA tournament. So we figured we'd do something kind of similar. Like, you know, a lot of you people, you'll see the brackets go around with these different teams. And I'm sure many of you guys have been sucked into doing something similar in your office spaces, or, you know, with your friends or whatever. And you're not going to escape it here on the Gun Rack. We're going to do something similar. But with a little twist, we are doing 2024 Handgun Madness. We got 8 firearms. We're pitting them against each other, and we're going to see who comes out on top today. I do want to encourage you guys, probably on Sunday, there is a social post that's going up on SDI's social media channels with the bracket. So you could save that and participate with us as we go through the week. We'll have the matchups, and so just leave your votes in. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, this is going to be a good time. We encourage you guys to participate, and I think for all of our college basketball fans out here, this will be a fun one to go through. And for those who are unfamiliar with March Madness and what all that means, which is a difficult concept to wrap your head around if you're from North Carolina, is it just D1 schools that go through, and what's the selection process like? Do they just pick the schools they feel did best each year?
Yeah,
or is there an actual selection involved?
It's a little bit of both.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the winners of the conference tournaments, if your conference does have a tournament, automatically go through.
Okay.
A lot of it is just taking the teams, like, you know, the best, 68 now, I think. It used to be 64, a lot simpler. Basically, whoever the committee decides are the best 68 teams based on the record, you know, level of competition, stuff like that.
Yeah,
it is kind of a difficult concept to explain. It's one of those things that if you're born into it, you kind of just...
You're like, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hive mind. Before we get into that, and before we even talk about Sonoran Desert Institute, there is a comment I've been meaning to get to, because we said we would address this if anyone wanted to defend the snub-nosed revolver. So we did have one person step up to the plate. Their name on YouTube is, it's RAS, so I don't know if it's RAS or Raj or Raz, Oz5PH. So maybe okay. Raz Oz5? They said, it's unfair to compare snub-nosed revolvers to Glock 19, 43, SIG 365, etc. They are in a totally different weight class, so you're obviously going to get more capability in the category of extremely concealable defensive handguns like the LCP, Bodyguard, and Kel-Tec 380s. The J-frame stacks up pretty well with being more powerful, having a better trigger, and requiring less grip strength to load. The small 380s are thinner and carry 1 to 2 more rounds, but that is the real discussion to have. The capacity issue is really a non-issue since the vast majority of defensive shootings require less than 5 rounds. There is no reason for me to carry a larger gun with more capability. I like the J-frame the best in category firearm. It has its shortcomings, just like every handgun has its shortcomings compared to an AR-15.
I could take some of that. Sorry, I'm batting it about in my head. Short answer is thanks for weighing in with your thoughts. That's great. We have been suspiciously lacking on user feedback for a couple of months, so it's nice to have someone to come in with some of that. I think the primary argument being made is that, yeah, don't compare it to a 365 or the things in that category. Compare it to a, so like an LCP, which is a micro compact might not even be the right word when you get that small handgun and the like.
We'll call it the minute compact.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of the time you're getting them referred to as subcompact or micro compact, which is, you know, neither of those are peer reviewed terms. So they kind of get used interchangeably. My counter to that would be that something like the 365 also absolutely fits under the micro compact category. Some of those don't. Compared to a Glock 43, you're absolutely correct. Different size. Glock 19, doubly so. There are absolutely some options that are that small that do compare against it. 365 is going to be the best example of that off the top of my head. There are certainly others, and more seem to be coming out here every year. And there is a difference, I think, between saying, hey, don't compare this to a Glock 19 because the mission set is wildly different. That's completely valid. But there are some of those that are, it's like, well, okay, but why not compare it to that? If we're talking about just elegance and like all of the cool nostalgic things about a handgun, absolutely, we can make that argument. But I would say to disallow all of those firearms in terms of comparison is probably putting it a little too far. And the counter I would also have to that is whether the majority of scenarios in which a firearm is employed involves 5 rounds or less. I don't necessarily disbelieve that, but I'd be interested to see a source on it. That would be, it's a little bit outside the purview of what we can talk about as a podcast tied to a school. Otherwise, we probably would have talked about it already. But let's say that is true, right? Let's say it's the majority, and let's say it's a 60% majority. That is just pulling things out of the air. In fact, we'll make it a super majority. Let's make it 67%. 2/3 of all incidents take place with the person being assaulted, resulting in expending 5 or fewer rounds. Well, that's great. In an ideal world, it's absolutely 0 rounds all the time. But would you like to have 5 rounds on you and then need more and not be able to have more? If you're carrying this thing, are you carrying a spare speed loader? Probably not. Some people do, and that's good on you for that. But I would argue, and this is not exclusive to the snub-nose revolver, that 5 rounds in a handgun in 2024 is just too few for concealed carry for self-defense purposes. And I feel like, majority or not, I feel like the data would certainly back up that assessment. Now, if you're in a place where you're shooting, the other takeaway part of that is you're in a place where you're shooting a J-frame revolver, excuse me, and you're having success with that and you like it the best, which is what it sounds like you're at, then yeah, awesome. Do that. If it works for you, that's great. My arguments against the snub-nose revolver are twofold. One, the jobs it does, other things can do better. And two, that for beginners, especially when it's being pitched to women as a concealed carry option, that's not reasonable. And I think when we didn't really go down that rabbit hole in that particular comment, but I think if we were talking to them right now, they might agree that having that as your first firearm is just not setting someone up for success. But thank you for that comment. I think it's really good, but those are kind of the follow-up thoughts. And I'm happy to continue to go down that comment hole further because it sounds like you've got some good feelings about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Raz, if you're listening, or anyone else, if you want to hop in on this, just leave a comment under this episode and we can keep the conversation going. Now, speaking of keeping the conversation going, let's talk a little bit about SDI.
Sonoran, yes, sir.
Sonoran Desert Institute, also known as SDI, is an online school that helps students learn the skills and techniques they'll need to be successful in the firearms and unmanned technology industries. SDI is accredited by the Distance Education Accrediting Commission, the DEAC, and currently we offer three programs in firearms technology. We have the Associate of Science in Firearms Technology, the Certificate in Firearms Technology Gunsmithing, and finally, the Certificate in Firearms Technology Handgun Specialist Program. And we're going to be talking a lot about handguns today. So if you're interested in handguns and learning more in the ins and outs of these different platforms, I definitely encourage you to check that out. You can learn all the info you want about these programs on our website. It's www.sdi.edu. Again, that's www.sdi.edu. Now let's get into handgun madness. I'm just going to run through all the matchups real quick. We got the Glock 19 versus the FN Reflex. We also have the Walther PDP versus the CZ75 SP1. On the other side of the bracket, we got the Staccato CS versus the Kimber R7 Mako. And then finally, we have the 6-Hour P365 versus the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield Plus. We'll go and get started with the Glock 19 versus the FN Reflex. And just a note, we're going to go with the Glock Gen 5. Yeah, we're trying to make the matchups as fair as possible. And so with the FN Reflex coming out last year, I wanted to go with the newest generation of Glock so they could be compared, the same age. So, and for each of these, going to try to go through what mechanism they use, the caliber, the barrel length, the overall length, the weight, and that's with a mag or without a mag and with an empty mag in an ideal scenario, mag capacity and the MSRP. And then Joey is going to give his thoughts and make his picks. So let's get started with Glock and FN. So mechanisms, Glock is a striker fired. While the FN has an internal hammer fired. They're both 9mm. Glock has a 4.02-inch barrel length with a overall length of 7.28 inches, while FN has a barrel length of 3.3 inches and an overall length of 6.2 inches. Now, let's go on to weight. The Glock weighs 21.52 ounces without the mag, 23.62 ounces with an empty mag, and FN has 18.4 ounces, but unfortunately, I couldn't really find out whether if that's empty or with an empty mag or a full mag or what, so we're just going to go 18.4 for its weight.
Sweet.
Mag capacity, Glock, 15 rounds standard, has the option of 10, 17, and 24. Well, if FN has 11 standard with an optional 10 or 15, and the MSRP, they're approximately around the same. Glock, the Glock 19 Gen 5 might be $40 to $50 cheaper. Now, Joey, tough outing for the FN Reflex to be going against, the Glock 19 right here. The Glock, it's so established at this point. And the Reflex is a fairly new gun. Do you think they have a shot at an upset here?
No, I gotta agree with your first statement. This is a tough out. There's just no way. FN Reflex is pretty cool. FN as a product line is, or as a brand, excuse me, is absolutely fantastic. I keep scheming to find excuses to add one to my lineup. I can't find one yet to justify the expense of picking up a new gun, but I suspect the next time I purchase a new firearm, it's going to be an FN, probably a 509. So yeah, great line, but you're going up against the Duke University of Firearms, the Glock 19, which is the one that everyone enjoys hating. but that's largely because they keep losing to them. The Glock 19 is a world beater. It is the most favored firearm in this whole bracket.
Yeah, I actually really love the Glock Duke comparison. I think I may start using that now on in a lot of situations. All right, so Glock 19 goes on to the Final Four. Thank you for playing, FN. I guess better luck next year. Now, we'll go to our second matchup. It's the Walther PDP versus the CZ75SP1. And Walther has a couple different models for their PDP. So again, just trying to make things fair, I'm going with the 4.6-inch barrel length model of the PDP, as that is identical to the barrel length of the CZ75SP1. I think that sounds fair enough. Now, we have a striker-fired versus a hammer-fired again this go-around, with Walther being striker-fired, quite famously so, and CZ being hammer-fired. They're both 9mm, again. The PDP has a barrel length of 4.6 inches and an overall length of 8.10 inches, while CZ75SP1 has a 4.6 barrel length, as we mentioned before, overall length of 6.15. Now, weight-wise, the PDP comes in 22.8 ounces without the mag, and the 75SP1 has a weight of 40.7. Again, that they're not clear of whether that's without the mag, with empty mag, or full mag. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to really find that information. But it's quite a difference in weight there. Mag capacity, the PDP has 18, while CZ's has 19, interestingly enough. Not much of a difference, but definitely should point it out. And the MSRP, the PDP comes in $100 more expensive than the 75SP1, with the PDP coming in at $899 and CZ's coming in at $799. All right, Joey.
Yeah, so in this particular matchup, it's a pretty good one. And actually, I think this is probably the closest out of all the top eight that we've got in terms of parity and in terms of fanatics following them. So the Walther PDP, Walther has a superb reputation. The PDP has some very loyal adherents, and that's great. That's awesome. And the PDP also has something of a reputation of, if you want to own one firearm, you could do a lot worse than the Walther PDP. That's pretty cool. However, the CZ brand of firearms, everything that I just said about Walther can be said about them. Their reputation is excellent. It's been around a very long time. The SP01 is like the gold standard, for the best in stock field grade guns. If concealed carry is not really in the cards for you, capacity, trigger, accuracy, SP01 is going to carry the load for you, and you would not have to buy another firearm after that. Concealed carry is not really in the cards for it. That's okay. And it's less expensive, and its blingier cousins, the Shadow 1 and 2, are the gold standard in their field, which is competition shooters, especially the Shadow 2 coming out the box. Oh my gosh. So good. So I am going to give this to the SP01, but it is very close. I do have a little bit of a CZ bias, and I treated two things at factors, that is, as tiebreakers. One was capacity in this case, just gave it to the edge, gave the edge to the SP01 there. Excuse me, I'm all over the place. And then price is going to be the other differentiating factor. But otherwise, I mean, real life, seriously, both of those firearms, dude, go get it. That's great.
Yeah, it's a little unfair that this had to happen in the first round. And I'd say we don't make the rules, but we literally did.
We quite literally do make the rules, yes.
But hey, you know, it's the Elite Eight, which means if your favorite firearm is even listed here, and that goes even for the FN Reflex, like, take that as a badge of honor that, you know, it even made it this far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's a tough matchup, but, you know, hey, we're trying to create some discussion, we didn't want easy matchups this go around. So
Facts. Straight bars, yeah. Honestly.
And of course, this is also just our opinions. And it's not like we're saying definitely which one is better, which one's not. We're about as good as the guys who look at the brackets for March Madness, or if you want to use a football or whatever, or even politics, that look at the stuff, analyze it, and then give their thoughts.
Facts.
But that does not mean that that determines the outcome. So with that said, let's go move on to the other side of the bracket. I guess this could be the West and the South. I don't know. We have the Staccato CS versus the Kimber R7 Mako. Again, we have a hammer fire versus a striker fire this go around, with Staccato being hammer fired and the Kimber being striker fired. They're both 9mm. Barrel length, it's pretty close lengthwise with each other. The Staccato is 3.5-inch barrel length with a 7.1 overall length, while the Kimber is 3.37-inch barrel length, 6.8-inch overall length. Weight-wise, the Staccato is 22.7 ounces without a mag. I couldn't find it, its weight, if it had an empty mag. And so for both of these, it's just going to be without a mag. So Staccato, 22.7 ounces. The Mako is 24.2 ounces. And then mag capacity, we have the Staccato with 16 and the Kimber with 15. And now this could be the tipping point. And that's the MSRP. The Staccato comes in with an MSRP of $2,499.99. While the Kimber R7 Mako MSRP is $951.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I have a Black Widow living in my garage currently. And I have been waiting. Like, the first time I went out, I saw a black bulbous spider. And I was like, huh, that it's not like a brown recluse where you go out there and you're like, that could be a brown recluse, or it could be literally every other brown spider in history, right? They all look identical. Even if you don't see the red hourglass, Black Widows look like it's the spideriest looking spider. It's very difficult to mistake for something else. But there are false Black Widows are a real thing. So I was like, okay, it's black. It's bulbous. I'm going to go ahead and kill this thing as a precaution. I couldn't see its underside. We will examine it after I've eliminated it. Sorry if you're an innocent bystander, spider. So I keep a can of bug spray in my garage for this exact reason. I've had like rat snakes and that kind of thing. So I keep a broom in there to sweep them out. And then I keep a can of bug spray. I go to get the can of bug spray. I turn around. It's gone. It has bolted. And I was like, okay, oh, no. That probably was a Black Widow, because that's what they do the second they see trouble, is they bolt. For all my spider phobes out there, there are actually a lot worse things you could have in your garage than a spider that aggressively wants to hide from you all the time. That's besides the point. That was a couple weeks ago. 2 days ago, I go back out in the garage to pick something up, and it's out and it's upside down, and it's very much got the red hourglass tummy. Black Widow confirmed, right? I was like, okay, now I definitely need to kill it. Go back to go get the can of Raid, turn around, and it is gone again. That's what Kimber is. There's this very quintessential looking firearms company that does nothing but absolutely disappear on you when you need it, and that is Kimber as an entire brand. The Mako does not fall under their line of 1911s, but I would not be caught dead with a Kimber at any point for the rest of my life. You couldn't give me one for free. They are, I swear, about 60% of the complaints about 1911s not being reliable in the 21st century. Everyone is paying for them like they pay for Lexuses. They're too scared to drive a Toyota, so they drive Toyota that's slightly different branded. And that's all one side of it. And then on the other side, Staccato makes some of the best firearms on the planet. Staccato is a firearm I'm never going to own, because I'll never have enough money to own, and that's the only reason I'll never own one. Like, if you get a Staccato, you never have to worry again. You've made it. Congratulations, you're there. So, yeah, this is the easiest blowout to me out of all of them. The Mako, I've actually heard pretty good things about. It's not in their 1911 line. It is different. Nothing personal, kid, but get out of here. You are okay fruit from a very crappy tree, and I want nothing to do with you. Give me the staccato every time.
Joey, I love it when you get like super feisty.
Kimber's trash, dude. Listen to any of our gunsmithing students talk about things that they have in the most. It's shotguns that are a billion years old, and then if it's fancy stuff, it's Kimber's over and over and over again.
Oh my goodness. Now I'm trying to think of who staccato might be. I feel like,
oh yeah, the only reason they got invited to the Elite Eight is because they're a legacy school.
Maybe Harvard then?
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. So Staccato CS is moving on to the Final Four.
Too easy.
Yes. And who will they face? Will it be the Sig Sauer P365 or the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield Plus? Well, let's get into that matchup right now. With so many models of the P365, like you go on their website, like there's like two pages worth of 365 models. So with so many models to choose from, I tried to get the one I felt like would compare maybe the best with the M&P Shield or contrast with it the best. So I went with the P365 X Macro.
Okay.
Now, both of these firearms are striker fired. Both are 9mm. All right. So the P365 has a 3.7 inch barrel and has an overall length of 6.6 inches, while the Shield Plus has a barrel length of 3.1 inches and an overall length of 6.1. Weight, it wasn't super clear on either, whether it was with the mag, with an empty mag, without a mag at all. Whatever. So, not going to look into it too greatly, but the 6 Hour weighed 22 ounces, while the Shield Plus weighed 17.9 ounces. Again, you know, because they're different companies, you know, when they just put weight, you know, on their website, they're not really specifying it. So, it could be two totally different factors. So, don't look too much into that. Mag capacity, the P365X Macro, 17, while the Shield Plus is 10 or 13. MSRP X Macro right now is $699.99, and the Shield Plus is $499.99. And this is a matchup in the Elite Eight that I was really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on. I think this was the one that I was very curious about, and just looking online, a couple different forums, honestly, a lot of people like both guns. Sort of the common sentiment I see is like, hey, go which one fits in your hand better. And I do think width is going to play a role in it, which we didn't address the width, but the X Macro, I believe, is wider. So having said that, I have a feeling I might know where you go, but I want to hear your thoughts.
It's kind of tricky. Actually, not that long ago, we did a dig piece on the X Macro. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
It was about a year or so ago. And I have not shot it yet. But I will say, having significantly more experience with the 365 XL now, not the X Macro, but the XL, I suspect if I ever shot the X Macro, I would retract a lot of what I said during that podcast. The 365 XL is a superb firearm. It is probably the last concealed carry firearm I buy for the next 5 years. I carried a TriStar T100 for quite a while. That's basically a Baby Eagle clone. Went to a 6 Hour C3, which is a officer length grip 1911 with a 4-inch barrel, which actually they don't make anymore. But if you can get your hands on a C3, that's going to be the honorable mention for the day. Holy crap, that gun rocks. Anyway, I went to the 365 XL and I have huge hands. I used to tell people I had a ring size 15 hand. I've lost 50 pounds. Now I have a ring size 13 hand. Yay. But still, big hands going on over here. I can barely get purchase with all four fingers. When I hold that thing, but it is so worth it. That firearm is so compact, so easy to carry, so light. It's nice and thin. All of the things are so good with that firearm. The dunking that I did on X Macro, I'm not going to make you go back and listen to it, especially if I'm going to retract what I say with that sometime in the next 12 months, because the X Macro is something I'm thinking about buying, is that the X Macro was basically stealing from themselves. It's they created a rival to the P320 against themselves, out of their own brand, which just is crazy to me. It's like, you already addressed this market. What are you doing? But the X Macro is just a much smaller handgun. It's much more compact. It's much less wide, which is a big deal to me. I think most of you probably know that if you listen to any of our concealed carry stuff. Width is so, so rarely put into consideration, and I find that to be such a waste. So I have nothing but good things to say about the 365 XL line. I'm about to go get mine Cerakoted. I'm still trying to figure out what I should do it in. We'll worry about that later, but I think you guys will find that fun. We'll talk about that process down the road. Yeah, but on the other side, the Shield is one of the most successful concealed carry handgun lines ever. There are lots of different products within that Shield lineup. They're all really good. The Smith & Wesson Shield, I find the grip to be too long for me for concealability, but they are adored. I know quite a few people that are pros within this industry that lean on Shield, and they started doing that a long time ago and they have never looked back, and I respect the heck out of that too. For this one, I am actually going to go with the Shield lineup against my better judgment, and this is splitting hairs. This is definitely a very close thing. I really like the 365 lineup. I think it's going nowhere. I think we're going to be still buying 365s 15 years from now, in different ways. But the tiebreaker for me, because it's basically a crapshoot down the line, is that the smallest version of the Shield lineup, and I know this is a break from where you had it, but I had to kind of compare the whole family of both to do something, to generate something fair at the end. Mm-hmm. The P365, the base. Actually, it's funny that we had that conversation about the Snubby earlier. I think it is more functional than a snub-nose revolver. I don't think it's that much more functional than a snub-nose revolver. That's a very difficult firearm to hold and control. And the Shield has a reputation for being very user-friendly for those newer concealed carriers out there. And that's where I give it the edge. Other than that, you're really splitting hairs. This is not in the list, but also, if you are interested in concealed carry, but you don't want to go micro, the M&P 9 Compact, worth a look. Not that expensive, just a little different. Might be worth a look for you. That is a firearm that I find to be very user-friendly for beginners who are in a place where they're good enough where they can do concealed carry things in a responsible manner, but maybe don't want to go the whole LCP route or the J-frame route or the 365 route.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. So two things real quick. I was wrong about the width. They're actually both 1.1 inches.
That's all right. Fortunately, I remembered. The Shield one, I was talking about the Shield earlier this week with a publisher that is going to have me do some review stuff for them in the near future, because they kept trying to convince me to buy a Shield so they could send me more stuff. It's like, dude, no. But that's how we do. But and then, of course, the 365, I've got one. And the width was a very, very significant reason why I went into it.
Hmm. Now, if it was, instead of the X Macro, if we were going with the XL.
Yeah, the XL versus the stock Shield, I'd probably lean XL. The XL and the 365 both kind of compete up against the Shield's base. That's at least what I see most of the time. And out of the three of them, I definitely go XL. I'm always trying to push people in the area of more barrel length. I think people overestimate their abilities sometimes and under practice, and I'm never here to encourage that. I think if you're going to go that route and people are, you know, fallible, having extra barrel length, increase your sight radius, increase controllability is going to help you out a lot.
Cool deal. All right, so yeah, the M&P Shield Plus is moving on, and they're facing that legacy school we were talking about. So
yeah.
We are in the final four now, folks. Let's go back to the other side of the bracket and determine who's going to go to the finals. We got the Glock 19 versus the CZ-75 SP-1. Again, real quick, just going to run through this matchup. We got Striker Fire versus the Hammer Fire, both 9mm. Glock has, the 19 has a little bit of a shorter barrel length, but a longer overall length, while the CZ has a little bit of a longer barrel length, but a shorter overall. Again, with the CZ, it's unclear with the weight about whether it's without a mag or with a full mag, whatever. But the Glock weighs 21.52 ounces without mag, 23.62 ounces with the empty mag. The CZ has 40.7 ounces. Capacity, Glock 19, 15 standard, optional 10, 17, 24, while the CZ has 19. And MSRP, the SP-1 comes in about 200 to even 250 more expensive than the Glock.
So, yeah, I love me some CZ. SP-01 is a fantastic firearm, but a Glock 19 is a world beater, and I don't see a reason to make an exception to the rule in this case. If you own a Glock 19, you don't necessarily need to own another handgun, and that includes concealed carry. And remember, that was a pretty big caveat for the SP-01 earlier. I'm sure there was some absolute Chad out there carrying an SP-01 and informing people that he is, in fact, just happy to see them. But the Glock 19 can do it all. It can do absolutely everything. And while it's fun to customize them and stuff, I'm not considering modularity as a component of this simply because there's too many variables at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But the Glock 19 stock can be the only firearm you own, and you can check all your boxes outside of hunting, and you can do them pretty well. And that's, there's no beating that. The versatility is superb. The reliability is great. Interchangeability is cool. Again, not really counting that. But if you ever have to replace anything on it, the aftermarket capabilities of this thing are just crazy. So yeah, the Glock 19, and that one's not even really a question as much as I love CZ.
I was going to say, if anyone questions whether or not we have a bias towards Glock, if you listen to the show...
I freaking hate Glock, man.
Yeah, if you've listened to the show...
I'm just trying to be intellectually honest.
Yeah. And hey, if they're the Duke of firearms world, kind of makes me like them even less.
Yeah, Duke just blew through Wake Forest is what just happened.
Hey now, hey.
Yeah, that's exactly what just happened. It's like, oh wow, it's kind of cool they got this far, but there was never a chance.
Well, I'll have you know, Wake Forest actually beat Duke at home this year.
Okay, cool. That's great.
And Duke did lose yesterday in the ACC tournament to NC State, which was
they did.
Funny. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's good. NC State trying to style themselves as everyone's rival.
Definitely some younger brother energy from NC State folks.
Yeah.
But okay. That does not happen here. Glock is moving on to the finals. Now we got the Staccato CS versus the M&P Shield Plus. Another Hammer Fire versus Striker Fire matchup here, both 9mm. Staccato, a little bit longer barrel length and a little bit longer overall by, I'd say, about an inch in overall length and about half an inch in barrel length. Weight, 22.7 ounces for the Staccato versus 17.9 ounces for the Shield Plus. Mag capacity, Staccato's got 16, Shield Plus 10 or 13. And the Staccato is about $2,000 more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on here, but I don't, as much as I really enjoy the idea of a Staccato, I think I would be looking for excuses to set the Glock and Staccato up by pushing it through. And the arguments I would make for the Glock in that matchup, I can make here just as easily with the Smith & Wesson. And those arguments are, Staccato is a bougie racer gun. The Smith & Wesson Shield, any of them, are an everyman firearm for a lot of different tasks. And because of that, Staccato is going to put up a good fight. Its basketballs will be you know, gold flaked, but Shield's got to take this one. It's the difference in performance that you are purchasing between a Shield and a Staccato in a vacuum. You know, we're not talking about competition guns. We're not talking about concealed carry necessarily. We're just talking about all the things. There's not $2,000 worth of difference. There's not 400% worth of difference in the two. Both will get the job done. And at that point, we're talking about a firearm that's more accessible, and that's going to do it right there.
Well, it's good to see the poor boys coming through. I will go so far to say they're the Hoosiers of the competition.
So we got Hoosiers versus Blue Devils. Is that how we're wrapping this thing? Okay.
Yep.
Here for it.
So, yeah, the finals, it's the Glock 19 Gen 5 versus the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield Plus. I've already run through the stuff on each competitor at this point. Joey, just take us home.
Okay. So, and Shield versus Glock is a very common debate all over the internet. And actually, this is not something we pre-wrote. So I didn't like plan this out and walk us through it to get to here. And frankly, I probably would have tried to find a way to avoid it if I had, but this seems the most fair way to go about it. So that's what we're doing. And once you get this close, you're really splitting hairs. You are winning with both. So we're going to take this back to versatility. In the land of the Shield, their intent is for personal defense and concealed carry. In the land of Glock 19, it's personal defense, concealed carry, but also the everyday firearm. And that is the difference I'm going to use. I'm going to use to split hairs here. So I'm going to give this to the Glock 19, which breaks my absolute heart. But I think it's the right thing to do. If we were just talking about the M&P series, I might go with Smith & Wesson, but there's just a tiny bit more versatility in your Glock 19 family than you're going to get out of your Shield family. And that's where we're going to go with it. The affordability of both is great. And if you are somehow so deluded that you think that this constitutes a buyer's guide for handguns, if you get this far and purchase either of them, you're doing just fine. So really, we're just going to go with the fact that the Glock 19 is a world beater. And while it's not my favorite handgun, I think it's chonky. I think it's ugly. It gets done when it needs to get done. It's a Toyota Camry. And that's not a bad thing a lot of the time.
Well, there you have it, folks. Joey, I applaud your intellectual honesty, your integrity with this.
Yep. Yeah.
I know a part of you died having to do this.
All of it. I had to kill CZ in the second round. Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. So there you have it, folks. The Glock 19 Gen 5 is our pick in this March Madness. But if you want to avoid this fate, you have the power to do so. All you have to do is participate. As I said, Sunday, we're going to be posting the full bracket on SDI's social media. And then as we go out through the week, we'll have the individual matchups. And if you want to give love to your firearm that maybe didn't make it as far, you have the power to do something about it. Go to the post, comment which firearm you want to see move on, and we can avoid the fate where Duke wins the national championship.
God save us.
I was so close to trying to do a Dick Vitale impersonation, but I was terrified that no one would
get sure it. Yours works just fine. So,
I practiced it last night, so it's probably a good thing I didn't try it today. Anyway, folks, there you have it. Again, keep your eye out for the bracket when we post it on SDI's social media channels on our Facebook and Instagram as we go through the week. Those are going to be the best places to participate if you want to. And yeah, Joey, want to take us home?
Yeah. All right, guys. For now, that is the gun rack. Pray for me, for those of you who do pray, for letting Glock survive this far. But for those of you who are not of that ilk, have fun out there. We will see you at the range.
Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school accredited by the DEAC. It is headquartered at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona. For more information about how you can craft your firearm's future, visit sdi.edu.